Hello, Scott Wells from MagicNewsWire.com, and we are in Frankenmuth, Michigan right now, and it is a fantastic place. I tell you, it's like, I feel like I'm on vacation almost. This is, everywhere you look around here, it looks like you're in Bavaria, you know, southern Germany. Absolutely very cool. Lots of German restaurants, and all the shopkeepers are dressed kind of in a German attire. Some of the people in Lederhosen, which is weird. Here it is in winter. But anyhow, lots of not only restaurants, which one of my favorite cuisines is German. Some of you podcast listeners might know. But aside from that, also lots of candy, taffy, fudge, and cheese. Lots of stuff like that. So, yes, Don has to add.
To mention that it's the home of Bronner's, the world's largest Christmas store. It is about the size of 3 football fields.
We drove by that. We're going to maybe check that out here tomorrow. Fantastic. I tell you, I've never seen anything like this from the outside. It just looks like it was like the Winchester House out in California, you know, where everything was just kind of built onto, you know, one. It started off just as a huge Walmart, and they decided to build 3 or 4 more on top of that. And it just goes on and on with a huge, I mean, it's larger than like a Bass Pro Shop or something. It's like 3 of those or something, huge. So we might be checking that out tomorrow then as well. Yeah, it is the largest around. Absolutely incredible. And a nice little cute river running through the place. This is just a wonderful place that is a vacation destination. In fact, we're staying at the Drury Inn, and as we were having some drinks there, we were joined by a horde of red hat ladies and a couple of people also who were up from Dearborn, Michigan, who happened to be just there for a couple of days, just kind of do a little shopping and enjoy a little short holiday also. Anyhow, it's a great little place. So it is definitely on the recommended list of places to visit. So if you're going to be planning a trip up north sometime, you might want to come by Frankenmuth. You'll be glad you did. And so now we're going to be on our way to the Magic Show, which is going to be up over here in Bay City. That's going to be with Michael Finney. And Michael Finney, I understand, had done a lecture last evening, Tuesday evening, and on the 16th, and we were not here in time, so we missed that. But perhaps during the party afterwards, we'll get a chance to chat with Michael and find out kind of what he had, kind of get the download on what he had to talk about in his lecture. And a lot of other guys are going to be there then, too, tonight. Gene Anderson and Bob Blanc and who knows who all. It's going to be a wonderful vaudeville evening of entertainment. Looking forward to seeing it and talking to you guys a little bit later, or rather talking with other guys on the other side as you guys get an opportunity to join in. As for now, that's all. Scotty out. Well, we're in the old State Theater in downtown Bay City, Michigan over here, and just about to see Nels Cremien as he juggles some popcorn. Here we go. Hey, ho, yeah. Look at that. Look at that. Awesome, man. Juggling 3 kernels of popcorn. A little bit of a pre-show before we get started. I see Bob Blanc down front also as we're kind of looking at the theater, got the stage all set. As I'm looking at this renovated theater, absolutely beautiful. Like, I wouldn't call it Art Deco and maybe kind of some sort of early Pueblo Indian style.
Aztec,
that's what it is, an Aztec kind of a thing. And as you look at the ceiling, it looks like a pool. It actually looks like an aquatic, just a swimming pool. As you're kind of looking up, got a few lights, looks like stars or something in the bottom of the pool, but absolutely looks like a swimming pool. Very, very strange, with different kinds of Aztec designs around the edges of it, and everything else. So, anyhow, things are lining up pretty good. And again, it's kind of neat because you got Nels running up and down, kind of with flashlights and helping people to be seated. And so, here comes Bob Blanc. Then also, it looks like he's going to make it over here shortly. Gosh, we've only got just a few minutes before the show actually begins. There's Gene Anderson, CEO Gino. So we'll see why these guys are not back in their dressing rooms. Why weren't they be in their dressing rooms? That seems strange that they're over here. But This looks like a pretty full house. I think you got about room for 600 people, and I'd probably say that it's just about 100% full. Looks like everybody's here to have a good time and relax, smiling, laughing, and so you have a chance to say hello to Bob. Looks like Gene's going back out through the exit, probably heading back to his dressing room. Again, over on the other side, I see Nell's giving directions. He's got two flashlights that he's kind of helping seat people as an usher. Pretty funny. As I said, the front of the stage is already set. It looks like with a large curtain that they've got in the proscenium, it is probably, it looks like about maybe 25, 30 feet wide. Square, also, about 30-foot square. And over to the side, looks like that there is a an electronic keyboard set up with, looks like they got a jet set with a black curtain set up, stage right. And looks like a microphone. And then down front, looks like you have a guitar and a chair and then a microphone set up to listen to the guitar play. And I imagine that's going to be Bob. Since this is going to be his deal, he's going to be hosting it. He's going to be opening the show here this evening. And over stage left, I got the percussion set up. Looks like a trap set and perhaps looks like a piano set up over there, you know, then as well. So anyhow, looks like a lot of fun. And it's almost... almost showtime.
Down, I can't see.
And there is Bob over here.
Security.
There's Bob Blanc. So.
You talking to me?
Well, anybody that go on a cruise ship that did what that did.
Oh, was that incredible?
How are you?
And then we're
good to see you, Scott.
Hey, good to see
Scott,
you.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You remember me like a trap.
Yeah, that's right. Steel. Is it steel trap or aluminum? Kathy.
How do I know?
That was my other.
I can't remember anything. It is Becky or no?
Kathy.
Who's Becky
Wells? That's Bill Wells' wife. Bill Wells' wife is Becky.
Is this your name Wells?
Scott Wells. That's why I remember, yeah.
Look at me, I'm 71. You know what happens at 71? First you forget names, then you forget faces. Phase three, you forget to pull your zipper up. You know the last phase? Forget to pull your zipper down, and I'm in that phase.
Oh, that's bad.
That's bad.
Careful, well,
Brock,
raising that.
How come your big daddy puts you inside when he should be outside? You should be outside. You're the short guy. What kind of a father? I'm just kidding. You having fun?
Well,
Weiberg, well, I was just looking at my Chicago pictures, thinking finally of that trip. What are you doing?
I'm recording
stop
actually
it.
For a podcast.
Stop it right now.
So Chicago pictures.
The good news is I'm on first. I got about 10 minutes. It's a little uneven.
Now tell me what to expect here real quickly.
Well, I'm not that good.
Okay. That's why you only do it 10 minutes.
I set the stage for low expectations. Everybody said, oh, this show's going to be crummy. And then they go, holy
wow.
God, that was great.
Soars.
I'm not doing any of the stuff you've heard me do. I got ukulele.
Oh. Well, listen, I missed it this year.
Maybe last year?
Or, no, in July.
This
is this year in July at Abbott's. And,
I didn't go.
I know you didn't. That's why I missed you.
I pulled my zipper.
And, yeah, aim the other way, please.
Remember, first rule of show business, check your fly. Always check your fly. What are you doing?
Good advice. Good advice.
What is that?
This is for the podcast for the magicnewswire.com.
Oh, God.
We'll talk to you later. There'll be like 20,000 people listening to all that.
No comment. I'm in the protective
program.
Thing. This is my echo right here. I gotta go to
Uncle Vito.
I gotta go to work.
Go to work.
Okay. Break a leg.
Don't break a leg.
Break a thread.
You see me staggers because I got neuropathy and I can't. My feet are dead.
Good. Listen, if I loosen the string in your guitar, will you know which one?
They're loose now.
Oh, okay.
This should be some fun. All righty. Enough for now. This is about time for it to begin. So, Scotty out. Well,
Well, here we are at the intermission, a 15-minute intermission after the first half was absolutely delightful. A lot of fun, certainly a real-life kind of a variety show from the standpoint that everybody got 10 minutes, including Michael Finney. Just closed the first half of this with Gene Anderson as the MC for this evening. Nels Ross had done some juggling, which was quite good. Bob Blanc had to open up with a little piece with some comedy songs from George Burns and some other songs from the after the turn of the century. And then we had some other people, some guys who were, one guy played the guitar, another guy with electronic keyboard. What's interesting, I think, is how the actors come on and off the stage. The curtains are not parting. Apparently, that they're just coming up from the floor, from the sides of the stage. Not even there are no wings apparently on the stage in either. Apparently, this used to be a cinema at some point. I was wrong as to the architecture. It's not Aztec. It's Mayan. I was corrected by that because during the show, the Gene Anderson had talked about the architecture. This being one of the five remaining Mayan architecture theaters. It was originally, I guess, created by the Bijou theater chain back in the early 1900s, like 1908 or something like that. Later, bought out by the Fox Theater and just kind of went on from there. But anyhow, it's been just pretty phenomenal. Good fun show. I'll also say that the median age of people I'm seeing here is probably about 65. So a lot of the humor and everything, which is vaudevillian, is certainly appreciated. There are a few young people here as well, but they seem to be kind of our view. But it is a lot of fun. Looking forward to the second half of this show to see what's going to be happening. Certainly, it was a good way to close with Michael Finney doing about 10 minutes or so. Very, very funny. So, until later, this is Scotty out.
Out of the throne. to sing, the rest will sing, and then I'll come up to the microphone and get you going, and away we go here.
Let freedom ring, awakening, the pride in every American, standing tall with one and all, our hearts united in the stirring strain. Oh, say, can you see the flag still waves in majesty, and we're together for the good and building brotherhood. Give us liberty, let freedom ring. Freedom ring. Here's your start.
I never got a buck back.
Well, that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for coming in. Drive carefully and God bless.
Wow, that was a terrific show.
What were your thoughts? Tell me again over there. Outstanding show, you said.
This was an outstanding show. I don't think we'll ever see another one that'll top it.
That's it was a vaudeville variety, I have to admit.
And Michael Finney just knocks me out. He just...
Every time.
He is...
Brings tears to your eyes and, people to their feet. It's just hilarious. He's great. He handles the audience so well.
Yes.
Excellent. So many outstanding moments.
Scott Wells for MagicNewsWire.com, and we're here in the Afterglow party at the Stein House, just a few blocks away from the State Theater, and I'm here with Nels Ross, who was the juggler who received the standing ovation here this evening, and well-deserved also, Nels, although it was a very good show.
Thank you. Great audience.
But you got to be used to that. Every time I go to a magic convention, and there's a juggler, jugglers always seem to, get more respect. They seem to, get the standing ovation that magicians don't.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't know how much it's deserved when you're a juggler at a magic convention. It's easy to be novel.
So I guess if I was a magician at a juggler's convention, I might get a standing ovation.
I would hope so. I don't know, personal. But jugglers are a funny group, but, magicians, I think they show a greater appreciation. It's kind of like I do shows for seniors, for example, and it's not always a vocal group, but they're so appreciative, and magicians are not only appreciative, they're vocal, and they'll show it. And so I love working with all the magic acts. And
well, I think one of the things that's unique about your act also is that you talk to the audience. A lot of jugglers seem to just juggle the music and they don't have really any lines or anything to say necessarily. If they happen to drop something, it's just kind of funny different things that happen. And it's just kind of physical comedy, I guess they do. But you add physical comedy almost as an adjunct to your speaking part,
Juggling has always been more of an excuse for me. I say it right in the show. I'm not the world's greatest. greatest juggler. I'm really not. I sit at the feet of, you know, these 10, 12-year-old kids from Germany or Japan, you know, when I go to these international conventions,
right.
and I'm in awe.
Right.
I can't do what they do, but I love what I do, and I tell people, I'm not the world's greatest juggler. For me, it's always been an excuse to be with people, and I love to spread joy. Yeah.
Well, you seem to do that a lot, and you're keeping awfully darn busy. Again, that when we first met, it was, I think, at the NICAN, probably in 98 or something, I believe.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Came
down to Texas with it.
That's right,
that
and then come down to Dallas.
Might go down again in 2011. I hope Alex is listening. I haven't been able to get in touch with him.
I hope you, I'll have to get your email. We'll make sure you get hooked up, you know, with that, because I hope you come back. I'm sorry you missed it. Austin TAOM was just awesome. One of the best conventions, I think, I've ever attended, not just among a TAOM, but it was a very good convention. But have to go back and listen to the podcast on that. That was a good convention. But the reason that you can't or haven't come to some conventions is because of your conflict with other shows. And
I do. I get too busy. I was telling Gene. Gene Anderson has been just wonderful coach and helper, and always glad to help anyone who's sincere about wanting to improve their act.
Sure.
And
he is very helpful. He is a mentor to so many.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's great. And I was telling him, my goal, my mission in life is to help as many people as possible live, laugh, love, and learn. You know, you've probably seen those bumper stickers or a poster that says "Live well, laugh often, love much."
Right.
And
well,
I would add to that a fourth
it.
Thing. No, that wasn't me. But I would add to that a fourth thing: learn continually. And I'm just beginning to re-embrace that philosophy to continue learning, improving my act, trying new things. And I kick myself because I've missed so many opportunities. You know, I have five children.
Okay.
There's a juggling act in and of itself, and I've got to take care of them.
Yeah.
So I take the gigs as they come. You know,
you try to keep as close to home as you can. You don't do a lot of cruise ships,
these
I guess.
These days, no,
kind of thing.
I don't do cruise ships currently.
Yeah.
Unless it's a short run, I do.
Right.
I stop. I don't tour. I haven't done anything touring in a couple of years.
So most of your stuff is just like corporate work around Buffalo.
I do things regionally, and then occasional overnights or a long weekend or a 3-day trip like this.
Right.
But most of the time, I'm staying close to home.
But is it hard then for you to book too far in advance because something might come in like a month or two and just before that event, and so you really don't want to commit to a magic convention or something might pay a lot
less?
No,
I don't mind committing ahead. I've been a fly-by of the seat of your pants artist for a long time, and it's all working out somehow.
Making a good living of it. Have been doing it for a long time. Yeah.
Well, I feed the kids, you know, once a week.
Yeah, that's good. In rotation, kind of like juggling, you know, at one at a time.
They all get their stale bread and water, so.
Yeah.
It is working out.
Yeah. You know. And so, what are your long-term plans?
Well, I mean, one of my long-term plans is to get to more conventions. Well, as I started to say, I kick myself because I miss sometimes. I come in time to, you know, set up and do my show, and then I got to take off the next morning or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm putting my foot down, and I'm not doing that anymore. I've been a sponge lately, and I'm going to suck in as much as I can and just stay and enjoy and
not
learn.
Not just perform, but actually,
look at the resources around us right here at this place.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to learn. I want to keep learning. I want to keep improving. I look at someone like Charlie Fry is one of my heroes.
Charlie can do everything. Yeah.
And not only is he a brilliant act and juggler, but he does magic, and he's always working on something and always sharing his act, his art with others. That's an inspiration to me.
Yeah. He seems to have learned a lot and continues to teach others. You know, he's been teaching for a long time as well, a lot of people. And you're right. He is so good at juggling so many things and being such a super nice guy, you know, and working all over the world. You know, I can see why you want to have him as someone you would aspire to be like him, certainly.
Absolutely. Yeah, he keeps learning and he keeps giving.
That's true.
Yeah, giving back.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And so 5 years from now, you see yourself as doing or being or where or what?
Well, I will always be an entertainer. I don't know how to avoid that because I love people. Thank you. And butternut squash soup. You guys got to Steinhaus butternut squash soup. If you're listening, you got to try it.
It's the best, huh?
Joseph ordered what he he wanted. He's like, he didn't want the salad or the soup. I said, I'll get the soup, and then.
All right. Thank you. So we're having a good time here, and yeah, I am.
I'm saying five years from now, I'm not gonna let you eat because I don't want this to get cold. That does look delicious.
Yeah, I wanna keep learning. I wanna keep developing my act. I have seen it change over time. Some of the physical comedy gets more subtle. Yeah. You know, not too much more subtle.
It used to be more slapstick, as I recall a decade ago. You know, that reminded me more of Stan Laurel. You know, is you know kind of the soupy looking, you know, tall thin guy with a bowler hat and you know kind of a suit that doesn't fit and the slapstick, you know, stuff. And you used to have a little bit of that still left, as far as you know, the pratfalls and the stuff with the microphone stand, which I'm glad you kept it because those are all, you know, just signature pieces, I think, for you.
But you
continue to grow. You know, I can see that your act has gotten even more polished. You know, it's very good.
And I'm also doing what Gene and many others are doing. I have been invited more and more to speak to groups.
Awesome.
But I'm still a threefold job. I'm an entertainer, speaker, and an oddball. I'll always be an oddball, but I'm enjoying both. And if you can, bring a little laughter, a little levity to someone's life, and if you can share something meaningful, what more can you ask for?
You pretty much wrapped it all up. That sounds good. Well, Nels, thank you very much. I wish you the best over here. You certainly have given your best for the show here this evening. And it was just a one-night thing, too, isn't it? I mean, this is just like in and out. So, well, good. Thank you very much. Enjoy your butternut squash soup. That looks delicious.
Bless you, too.
We'll see you later. Scotty out. All right. Oh, thank you.
Where'd you get the ring?
The ring?
You a Mason?
I'm not.
You want to be?
Yes, my father was.
That's a beautiful ring.
Thank you. So, I'm now speaking with Bob Blanc. And he's a comedian. And plays banjo and all kinds of stringed instruments. How many instruments do you play, Bob?
I play 12 string, 6 string, ukulele. That's basically it. My strength is a guitar.
Yeah.
But my ukulele, I'm doing ukulele stuff because I like stuff from the 20s and 30s.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the line?
Yeah, when you were, doing some stuff from George Burns in this evening, that was so great.
Yeah,
you know,
I
love those kinds of songs.
It was a little rough, but basically I nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very clever, very funny. Now, the format for the show here this evening, it was to be vaudeville, so it was a variety act, as we had said. So it's not a magic convention. And what I thought was great, of course, that most of the people here could relate, they understood, they know what vaudeville was. If they, some people may have even remembered it or maybe even seen it. It looked like there were some people, well into their 80s or older, who were here. And a pretty full house, a beautiful theater. So this concept has been around. This is, what, the fifth, sixth year? Or how long have you been doing this?
We started out when Gene Anderson retired. We did a show called The Magic Show at the State.
Okay.
And we never took pictures, but the people were standing outside buying tickets. And it was coincided with Dow, him returning to Dow, then we put the show on, and it was fantastic. So we kind of talked about doing a vaudeville show.
The show that time was just him?
Called The Magic Show. I think we had Steve Bergazzi, Steven, I think we had, my memory doesn't serve, but Bill Spooner came. I can't help. I just can't remember now.
Yeah.
But after that, we did a vaudeville show, and Bergazzi was involved a couple times. We've had Michael Finney, as you know. I just can't remember the names. I've got all the posters in my... You want to come to my place for a few minutes? I can show you the posters of all the bills.
Did they have a poster for this one? I didn't see the posters.
I got it. It's about 4 foot by 3 foot. I got the big one. Jesus, how'd you get that? I said, designer. Hey, Gene, who are the people, the headliners that we've had involved? I said, Bergazzi. Who else did we have? Do you remember?
In the 4 years? Interview me and I'll contact you.
Okay. We'll get back with Gene later, and he will...
Thanks for the information, Gene. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, leave him hanging right here for now. So, anyhow...
Hey, how you doing, Mr. D? Good to see you.
Bob lives across the street, and so everybody knows him right now. So, with this this convention, these are people from around the Tri-City area. They drive for hundreds of miles, I guess. And so, where do you promote this show? How do people find out about this?
Well, Gene has a great connection with the internet, but he's seen all the shows, so he's the one that I was pressing for Michael because I'd seen him. I worked with him a show in Appleton, Wisconsin, the Houdini Convention, and I saw him a couple places, and then in Phoenix. We go to Phoenix for a little vacation, and I'm tired. What'd you ask me? I'm lost. I'm
That's
so
okay.
Tired.
That just kind of comes to me. It's been a long day and a long show.
Yeah.
No, I was talking about the how that you promote this, and you say people come from all over hundreds of miles.
Then we have the Bay City Times puts in Let's Do, and that's what's going on this week. Mm-hmm. I can show you that, too. That's home. Gene promoted it.
So it's the newspaper and then the emails and stuff like that. And
word of mouth.
Yeah.
I don't even have that. Gene made up little, they're like a small business card with the bill on it.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you see somebody, they say you're going to the show and they hand it to them as a reminder. So we had a pretty good house tonight, I think.
It was a full, pretty much a full house. It wasn't packed. I saw very few empty seats. But also, I would say, you know, the median age did seem to be older than your typical theater audience, it seemed.
Is this going to be on a broadcast just like this?
Just like this.
Well, I can't give you the line then. So here, I'll tell you. Lean, turn it off for a minute.
Hold on just a minute then. Hold on. No, I had kind of estimated that I was jokingly saying probably the median age was 65, but probably it is a little bit lower than that, but not much. Probably I'd say 50, 55, you know, was not an unreasonable median age. We did have a few young people there, but not many children. I would say a handful of children, but most people had hair as gray as mine or more or less hair.
Or less, in my case. It's...
So it seems like you have a different theater-going audience, is what I'm saying. Also, I thought was interesting is that the reactions that that they got. You know, when I go to a magic convention with most magicians, I mean, they get good reactions. But here, you get I felt like I was getting genuine reactions from genuine people. I mean, these were truly what I would call lay people.
And they haven't seen it.
And they've never seen it. They've never heard it.
Magicians,
you know?
They're looking for the move or, you know, they've seen pretty much everything. The crew,
exactly.
Like IBM, Sam.
And that's the key that I wanted to kind of get across over here to the people listening, you know, is just how strong that this plays, you know, to real people when you're playing in a real theater.
This,
you know,
this like could, this. I've talked to people that this could be done anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
You get a setup of, it's sort of like what the vaudeville was, like the circuit, the Orpheum or whatever. It just connects. And I know a lot of people, and we mix. We'll see you guys. Take care. I'll talk to you later. Stop at any time. We have... oh, God, I'm so tired.
Well, they had a lot of different kind of singers. You know, they had, of course, the Barbershop Quartet, and they had percussion guys, and you were playing some comedy with the stringed instruments, and I thought we might have some dancers or something, you know, come out there.
Well, I wanted, but I called this gal, and I knew her from my mother had a dance studio, and I tell people my influence was Jimmy Durante, Harry Jarkey, an old-time entertainer. He's now retired in Arizona, but he was a pro. It was Durante, Jolson, and Jarkey. And that's my setup. I don't know if you've ever seen my banquet. I'm sure you haven't seen my banquet. It was 45 minutes. But I do a funny Elvis, funnier than hell, and Bob Dylan, off-key, and a commercial bit, and then I do a bit where I'm going to blow the top of my head off.
Yeah.
And it's all, and it just works. Then I get audience participation where they put on these funny aprons, and I have them play an instrument. It's funny, and it's all gag vaudeville crap.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I have a toilet seat, percussion, and I put a paper, you know, the thing you put on your...
Yeah, toilet seat, yeah.
And then at the end, these are lines you pick up, like Michael was saying. At the end, they take it off. I said, no, leave it. I said, you can have it. I said, in Bay City, we only use it once. And that gets a funny laugh.
Yeah.
That's a laugh. So... I just have done banquet shows. That's my strength. I've made very good money,
mm-hmm.
and I've always used it as an avocation. I was an educator,
mm-hmm.
and I've been performing since the age of three, and I like to do it. Like what Michael said, if you don't perform every so often, you need a fix of applause.
Well, you've done a great job over the years, and certainly done a good job with this, and appreciate it. Looking forward to future years, and if you guys get an opportunity, I assume it's about the same time, probably, this second or third...
next year. I'm thinking, I haven't told Gene. Gene's been directing, producing. I helped last year. I said, Gene, you can be the director-producer. and he likes that title.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm gonna talk to him, but I'm thinking of doing a show that I'm gonna produce it, and my sister's gonna direct it. She's had a lot of stage stuff, and it's gonna be called Bob Blunk's Second to Last Show, mm-hmm. and Friends. And I've got Fiddler Friends. These guys are gonna start. Fiddler Friends, John Xylophone. I mean, I know a lot of performers, entertainers, yeah. musical. And I can do hours of 50s. I sing with this band on Sunday, and we do some funny songs, a Bob Dylan song.
Yeah.
I got a ton of stuff that I do.
Yeah.
And it works.
Well, that sounds great. So, again, people can come out next year, get up to Bay City in November. Beautiful time of the year, not too cold, not too hot, and it's a good, perfect tourist season. You guys ought to come on up. Well, I think I'll go and talk with Gene Anderson, see what's happening over here then with him.
Tell Gene I said hi.
Oh, does he know you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Is this going to be broadcast on the radio?
Not on the radio, but on the internet.
Oh.
Yeah. New thing called a podcast.
Who the hell is going to listen to what I just said?
We had 22,000 people listen to the last one.
Really?
Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay, this is Bob Blunk, Scott Wells.
Hey,
oh.
I played Hawaii, Nashville. I did, true story, January I played the Gaylord Palms in Orlando, an international convention. Mm-hmm. 3 months ago in July, I played a state convention up in Mackinac Island, and then I played a town called Pinconning, mm-hmm. and that's the line that Michael used, but I've been using it, as it tells you which way my career's heading.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, I hope that helps your podcast.
It does. I'm sure it will. Thank you, Bob, very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, thank you, man.
All right.
I like
talk
to
you, Bob. Thank you. All right, well, we kind of meandered our way over here to finally getting to the master of ceremonies, and I do mean the master of ceremonies, producer and director, Gene Anderson.
Hi.
How high? You have done, yeah, you've done a wonderful job in putting this thing together as a producer and director. You know, I know Bob had done a lot also, but a lot of this has your touches kind of all over it. I can see your fingerprints of doing, putting some of the talent together and the production. It was phenomenal.
Thank you. Very good job.
Okay. You could tell by, you know, the reactions of the audience. I was telling Bob, I thought was one of the key things was that this was a real audience. You know, I've been to so many magic conventions, as you have, and you get good reactions, but the reactions seem more genuine, it seemed like, from the people here for lines that might seem standard to some of us. You know, they're hearing, seems like, for the first time, you know.
And it would be. So, just for listeners' information, last year I wrote it up for the Linking Ring in the February issue, and they should go back and look at the Vaudeville Show.
Okay.
And so I'll just summarize quickly, I'll encapsulate that. And I say, so in the 1989 movie Field of Dreams, the line is, if you build it, they will come. Well, we who live in amid the real cornfields in the American Midwest know it ain't necessarily true. If you build it, they may not come.
Okay.
So why vaudeville? Because if you advertise a magic show, they think it's a kid show. Hmm. And when I explain, it's not that it's a vaudeville show, it's not that it's not necessarily not a kid show, it's just not a kid show.
Okay, okay.
The light slowly dawns.
Yeah.
Oh, it's family-friendly entertainment. That's what vaudeville was, that's what this is. So what I have done, so this time Bob was not a co-producer. I alone was the producer. And when talking to Jay Marshall, what I told Jay Marshall long before he died, Jay Marshall would organize a show in an order that the rest of us would never imagine. And I said, if I wanted to learn anything from you, Jay, it would be that. God, I wanted to learn that.
Yeah.
So what I did on this show and what I've done, this is the fourth, okay? What I did on this show was try to position acts so they would play good versus other acts. So let's just explain what that was about. Let's just take the second half,
okay,
for example. So and there's logistics problems in our theater. There are no wings. There's no place to go.
Right.
I can't get stuff off stage.
Right.
So I structured some things so they would come on right after intermission. For example, a xylophone getting on stage,
right,
is not easy. So we got to figure out how are we going to get it on there? How are we going to get it off there?
So logistics really was your primary motivator.
I can't have an illusion act. I got no place to put them. It is not going to happen.
No, you can't roll them on and off, and the curtains don't open.
I have no place to go.
Yeah.
I got no curtains. I got no anything. It's a gorgeous theater.
Absolutely.
It's stunning theater. You come in there, and you feel like there ought to be a show in here.
Yeah.
But there are no wings. There's no place to go. So I got to select my acts carefully.
Mm-hmm.
So what I had in the second half, and I'll just talk about that, I opened with a xylophone player, and then they did a drum thing.
Yeah.
But novelty. And I followed that with a juggler.
Right.
Right? So, and funny juggler. And
he got a standing ovation.
And he got a standing ovation, and a genuine standing ovation.
Yes.
Not a thought about one, okay, or begged for one. And followed that with a world champion barbershop quartet.
Oh, they were awesome.
Totally, but completely different, because I can't have a funny guy following a funny guy.
Mm-hmm.
I need a break in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now, after they have done their thing, I can bring in Michael Finney being funny, because it's been such a total separation that Michael Finney can kill, which he did.
Right.
But both Nels Ross and the barbershop quartet and Michael Finney and the drummer killed.
Right.
Because they were all separate, and that's my so if I learned, and I didn't learn it completely from Jay, but if I admired anything that Jay really, really, really could do that nobody ever knew about, was organize a show, and that's what I pride myself
on. So it's kind of separating them again so that you don't have a comedian back-to-back or a bird act back-to-back kind of a thing, and so that there's
kind of
time, space.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And in this case, because I'm not confined to magic acts,
mm-hmm.
there were only two magic acts, myself and Michael Finney.
Michael, right.
And Michael worked two spots. I worked one spot. So we had three spots on there.
Right.
So if you look at it, we had five acts up front and four in the second half.
Yeah.
And the juggler repeated twice, and Michael Finney repeated twice.
Right.
Okay. And other than
I think people really wanted more. You know, they always say,
they
leave
wanted
the money more. But
that was enough. And it was a long, you know, I mean, Michael did longer than I would have
for the first
thought
half?
Him to do. Second half.
Okay.
Second half, he was supposed to do 10 minutes, and I bet I'll have to listen to the tape.
Maybe
but
15?
I'd say 20.
Okay.
He probably did 20. But he led into the finale real well, and he didn't know that that's what the finale really was.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
With the singing?
What,
yeah.
And so what I had was the barbershop quartet came back.
So that was just serendipitous that he was talking about the...
It was serendipitous. He went off into a Love America thing.
Yeah.
And they did a God Bless America, no, pardon me, America the Beautiful.
Right.
And they taught the audience how to do it, and then they did a thing that I spoke the rest of it to call a descant in the music world. They have some other name for it, but they're doing a harmony part to what we're doing with different words as we're singing America the Beautiful.
Right.
Well, I mean, that audience went out of there just aglow.
Absolutely.
They were so glad they were to be, so that's, you know, and anyway, that's what happened.
Yeah.
And I didn't know he was going to do this little soliloquy on America and et cetera, et cetera.
The soldiers.
And so here's the barbershop quartet that's sitting there and saying, oh boy, is this a slam dunk or what? And they didn't even know. I mean, it was serendipitous.
Yeah.
It just happened. And so that's kind of what went on.
Now, how do you plan these from year to year?
Well, what I've tried to do is, again, I'm almost going off the Jane Marshall plan here, which is I want to balance the bill. So I'm going to bring in some music because I'm not confined to magic acts.
Right.
I'm not going to have more than two magic acts. I want some novelty acts. And so my favorite quote is from Thomas Hood, who died in 1845. We're not talking new things. He said, there are three things the public will always clamor for sooner or later, namely novelty, novelty, novelty. And that's why I split Michael into two parts, and I split Nels Ross into two parts, because they're stronger coming back and having it separated by something else.
Right.
Otherwise, it's the same guy talking more and more about kind of more or less the same thing.
That's the advantage, I think, of a variety and vaudeville type of a thing, because, first of all, it's short enough. If you don't like it, there's going to be something you will like that might come up next. And if you like that, there might be something else coming up again a little bit later. You know, I mean, it has, peaks and valleys for each person. In other words, some people may really like drumming and others may not. Others may like barbershop quartet or others may not. Or others may like magic or whatever.
Exactly,
so,
Scott.
Yeah.
Exactly. And here's what I tell each of the acts. Your job is to steal the show.
Because you got 10 minutes to do it. Yeah.
So
steal it.
You get in and steal the show.
Good point. Yeah.
Now.
Do your best stuff and grab them.
And do it.
Yeah.
And when I'm the act, okay, so here's my role as the MC, in my opinion, okay? I want to steal the show too, but as the act, not as the MC. Mm-hmm. So my job is to get each act onto a hot stage and get them off clean. That's what I do mm-hmm. as the MC. Now, I'm going to do a spot. And when I do, I'm going for broke, man. I'm going to steal that show. Look out. Yeah. I am armed for bear.
Well, I've always seen the job of an MC as basically being like a referee, you know, in a football game or basketball or whatever, that they're invisible, basically. But they could, yeah, but it couldn't play without them.
Should be. Should be. Yeah. And the horrible part of me read reviews, and this is what happens. And it kind of burns you up. So I put in all this time on working on the MC thing, okay? Mm-hmm. And they will say, Gene Anderson did his usual fine job. Oh, boy, oh, boy, okay? So you get none of the credit, but if the show is bad, who gets the blame?
The guy who MC'd it.
It's the MC, yeah. So you get no credit. Yeah. So that's what happens. And so, but anyway, so and that's what happened here. And we have a tough venue to play because there's no wings, there's no anything, and we got to work it somehow and get the acts on as clean as we can and get them off, and it worked.
That's right. Now, do you always have this time of the year?
We have done it every time in November. It's the fourth one we've done.
Okay.
And next year? And I don't know if I'll do another.
Oh, don't say that.
That's not guaranteed.
Okay, you say that every year.
I wasn't planning to do this one.
Okay.
So there's
no
guarantee.
It may or may not happen.
It may or may not happen. I might. If I get persuaded heavily enough, I might do it again. but the amount.
But you love it, don't you?
Well, yes. But Scott, the money, all my money goes to the acts. Practically, I get a pittance of things.
Yeah.
And then I go and hire a photographer, and I do that, and it comes out of my pocket. And by the time I'm done, I've made no money on this thing.
Yeah.
And so there comes a time when I'm saying, why exactly is it I'm doing this for the benefit of everybody else? And
yeah.
So a lot of people made money on magic out of me. It's just that I never made any.
Yeah.
Okay. If you will. All right. So I'm not destitute, and I owe.
Right.
But. All right. So I may or may not. No guarantees. All right. So back to this. So, what was the question? I forgot the question.
I was just asking about next year and the future of this.
I don't know. I don't know. And it could happen. Absolutely could happen.
Okay.
Because the audience is killer audience.
And they love it. It seems. I don't know what they.
Now here was a funny thing. I got to tell this to the audience, to your audience now. All right. So. I hustle up, and this is in the Vaudeville article, I hustle up my audience with email. We're out of the, if you will, the advertising shadow of the Bay City. We're 20 miles away. They don't see advertising from the State Theater. So that's all done by me.
Okay.
I put some window posters in windows downtown, which I think probably does no good at all, and I send emails to everybody in advance. As soon as they can get tickets online, they get it. That whole front of the audience, if you will,
yeah.
Almost the whole lower half was my people. And so when they say, how many here were from Bay City? And they get some applause. And how many from Midland?
Midland, boy, it just erupted.
And so I stack that audience with
my
people.
How far is Midland from where we're based?
20 miles.
Is that all? Okay.
Yeah.
So this is really considered a suburb, basically? Or?
Well, our airport, for example, is called MBS. That stands for Midland, Bay City, Saginaw. It's a tri-city airport.
Oh, okay.
And so we're all three together, so we're 20 miles apart from each other, and the airport's in the middle.
Okay.
All right. So we're all
If you
together.
Guys, by the way, who are listening in Germany are wondering, okay, where is this geographically? I kind of think of this as a mitten, you know, and this is kind of like on the thumb.
And it's not even a thumb, but it's right there. And so where we are, actually, of those, where's Michigan? All right. Of those five big Great Lakes that are there, it's in the middle of those Great Lakes.
On Lake Huron.
And our side is Lake Huron, and Lake Michigan is on the other side. And Chicago's over there on Lake Michigan. Yeah. And so we got this kind of mitten-looking kind of thing. And up on the top of us is Lake Superior. So those three of the five big lakes are there, and we're in the middle of all that.
There you go.
And Midland is in the middle of that. That's why it's called Midland.
Okay? Ah, hence the name.
So there we are. And all that's where I live, and I live in Midland. So that's the story.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time over here, as always. I'll be seeing you, I guess, in a few months when we come back to Buffalo for the 4F convention.
So I'm flattered that you came to the show from Houston.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Gino. Right. I appreciate it. That's good enough for now. So see if I can catch Michael Finney over here. This is right now, Scotty out. Okay. All right. Now I'm here with Michael Finney. Hello, Michael. Great to have you here.
Hey, it's great, man. Thanks.
So we're here for the MagicNewsWire.com. So you've already done an interview, actually, I think, with Dodd, didn't you, a while back?
You know, yes, and it was really nice. It's funny you bring that up because just like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Tom Mullica contacted me and said he was going to do it and said he had gone on there and listened to some, and mine in specific. He said he listened to my interview and really liked it.
Oh, it was awesome. I remember you talk a lot about your history and this stuff. Yeah.
And so Tommy really liked it and said he was looking forward to doing it. And so, yeah, I got more response. I mean, I'm just not, I guess I might be challenged some way, shape, or form. But you know, I don't get to do all these or get a hold of all these now. And so, yeah, it was a real treat to get to talk to Dodd and then to have other people who listen to it. And I was amazed.
Oh, you get thousands of downloads.
So I figure I better get in the loop here. So.
Have you gone back and listened to some of the podcasts also?
You know, it's something that I've just, when Tommy called me and said he did, I said, you know what, I said, I better go. And so to be honest, as I can be with you, I have not.
Yeah.
But I did go to the website, and I saw some of the names and some of the interviews. And
A lot of people are going, and I talk to guys all the time who are downloading these and are on the road, and they're listening to them on the, you know, through their iPod on the radio or through the radio or something, you know. Through the MP3 player or whatever.
Yeah, I would like to do that because I'll tell you, when you're on the road, as much as I am these days, not a lot to do. And most of my gigs now, I'm going in a day ahead, so I'm there and nothing happens.
Right.
You know, you just can't count on the airlines and everything anymore like you used to. So I got downtime. And if I don't take my golf clubs, I'm bored out of my mind. I try to find things to do, but I've got a simple little mind, so I'm not too creative.
Well, they're
about
fun.
All
you
that.
Learn a lot of good stuff, and I know some guys also go on cruise ships. You know, we'll take these things and download them and listen to them, you know, while they're out to sea as well. But enough about the podcast. Let's talk a little bit. Talking about golf, gosh, you know, that I played in your tournament way back when, you know, when, when was that? The dry heat tournament that
we all. What year it was? Was like early in third or fourth?
It would have been the 80s. It would have been
90s.
And my mom.
90s.
Was it the 90s?
Yes.
I mean, the 90s, yes.
Yeah, late 90s.
Because my mom was still alive, and I remember we all went over to Finneybone and performed in that evening and did a few things. And
you came and did the Finneybone's Finneybone's dry heat golf.
Yeah, right.
Which you were right. It was I opened that club in 1986 and had it until 94.
Okay.
And we had two or three years. We did the Finneybone's golf tournament. That's the one you came to.
Yeah, yeah. And you were trying to do something with HBO at the time. It didn't come to.
Nah,
yeah, I remember that.
It was at the Point Tapatio, Hilton Resort, and we still had pictures from those events. I think we only had like six or seven teams.
But
it was so much fun. And now the Dry Heat Classic is two full golf courses.
Holy
like
cow.
48 teams. And it's just the best. This next year will be my 15th anniversary. And Matt King is already committed to coming in for me.
Yeah.
And Jeff McBride has expressed an interest in coming. Dale Hyman's going to come in and be the stage manager again.
Yeah.
We're going to be at Talking Stick Resort. I'm really looking forward to 2011, the 15th anniversary.
Now, when is that going to be exactly?
July 14th, 15th, and 16th.
Okay.
Steve Bargatze is going to come back. Danny Cole will come back for me. I'm trying to pull out all the stops. I even emailed Lance to see if Lance wants to come down. Now that he's freed up, you know. I want him to come down and enjoy it and have a good time, play some golf with us and relax. And so I'm hoping he'll come. I think what I'm doing is I'm working him because I go in the back door with Mac. And Mac will get him to come with me, you know. And then Fielding's coming. And Fielding's, he's going to try to get Johnny and Pam to come back. Johnny and Pam did it a couple years in a row, and they were such a big hit. hit.
Yeah, sure.
And so I'm really working on that side of it. One night will be magic. Now, we do two shows now. It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday event now instead of a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. The corporate world, much more receptive to those days. They can't, those corporate guys can't take a Monday or a Tuesday off, but they can take a Thursday, late Thursday, and then a Friday and a Saturday. So, so we do two shows. The Monday, the Friday night show is all magic, and then the Saturday night is all comedy and some comedy magic. And last year we had Bill Engvall, and he did great. It was a big hit.
Yeah.
And this year I've been in touch with Foxworthy. He emailed me back already. And if they don't pick up the show, Fifth Grader, he's going to try to come in and help me. He's a great guy. Him and his wife, Greg, are terrific people. And then, you know, I'm trying to back it up. I got a guy working with Ron White. These are all my buddies. They're just hard to reach now, you know, when you make it to their level.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But I'll have all my standard guys coming back that have been with me for the longest time and supporting the event. And it's great. You know, the celebrities are getting better. The airline company we're working with now is able to fly people from all over the place. So it's exciting.
Now, it's a benefit then also for what?
It's all from day one, which we started the Dry Heat Classic in 1996, because this was my 14th year. We fiddle-faddled for the first 2 years. We tried to support as many groups as we could. And then I met the guys from the Gift of Life, and it's a Rotarian group in Phoenix. Long story short, $6,000, St. Joseph's Hospital, heart surgery for a kid. And so when you can put a number with a life, it makes it much more receptive to people. So $6,000, every $6,000 an operation gets done.
Wow.
And then, you know, something that I got in tune with just this last year, I don't know why it never came to the forefront for me, but is Operation Smile. And it's all kids that are born with cleft palates or any kind of cleft, any kind of formal facial deformity. And I'm not working with the national out back east. I'm working with a local chapter in Phoenix. And we're sending doctors over to different countries. It only costs $240 for a doctor to do an operation that takes less than an hour. And so these are two, I mean, they're both life-changing.
Wow.
And they happen now. It's not like, you know, so much money goes into research. And gosh, we might not be alive when that research is finally, you know, the dream is finally achieved. But with an operation, it's happening here and now. That's what I wanted to donate my money to, was things that would make a difference today, right now.
Right, rather than research is going to take you to don't know.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That has to be done.
Really, really,
but when there's an answer to this problem and it can be addressed right away, that's what I'm doing now. So it's great. Like this year, we were able to give the Rotary Gift of Life $30,000. I mean, that's five surgeries, man.
You know what that kind of makes me think of? Then also, it's like whenever that you're performing and you're on stage, you get immediate gratification of the people who are going to be laughing and applauding and having a great time right now.
Right.
You know, and the same thing with what you're getting, you know, with money that is going directly to someone who's going to be doing an operation immediately.
And I know it's getting that. I know it's getting where it's supposed to be.
What are we trying to do?
You know, so many charities are suspect these days.
Oh, yeah, true.
You know?
But you look at what happened in Haiti. You know, I mean, there's still millions of dollars that haven't been allocated.
It's just sitting somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah.
And I don't know what they're doing, but I
think someone's trying to say goodbye over here, too, then, too.
I was just leaving. I just wanted to say goodbye.
Thank you. So I hope we get right back where we were, but it's just having an immediate impact. And these doctors in Scottsdale now, they'll go over to another country for 10 days to 2 weeks. They'll do some 200 surgeries.
Wow.
Wow,
back to back.
It's impressive because the kids can now walk. First of all, they can walk out of their house. Secondly, they can hold their head high. And thirdly, they now can get an education. They can go to school like every other kid goes. And they're going to have to live with some kind of harassment. Nobody who has a cleft palate as a little kid is just going to breeze through it.
Yeah.
But in my case, I got kind of tough-skinned about it, you know? And then as I got older, I realized everybody in this world has something that they don't like about themselves or something that somebody thinks is wrong with them. Everybody has an Achilles heel. And so if you have that mindset, you have that thought, then it's like, you know, accept it for what it is and move on. Because there's other people that are suffering a lot worse than what we are with just a simple scar of some kind. So
that's true.
You know, and so whenever I have a chance, I like to go around and talk to kids and do my Minority Youth at Risk program and just kids who need a little bit of guidance, you know. And so I'm happy to do that. And it's, you know, and I could not have done it if I hadn't have learned magic. And when I first started doing magic, it was just to make better tips behind the bar, to make a living, you know, to make a to make money, you know, to put gas in my car, to be able to go to work every day like my dad. I watched my dad go to work every day, and I watched him go to work at midnight, and I watched him go to work at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I watched him go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. He worked a rotating shift, so that's the way I was brought up. That's what I was, you know, that's what, when you watch your dad do it, that's what you're going to do, you know?
Sears shopper, if I recall.
Pardon me?
He was a Sears shopper.
My dad?
Yeah.
Get out of here. My dad worked in a factory, man.
I say he shopped at Sears. He was a wise shopper.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about my act. Yeah, Sears Roebuck. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And that's a true story. Yeah, that's where that whole bit came from. But yeah, my dad worked hard, and so that's, you know, I wasn't opposed to that, but I found tending bar was, I mean, you know, when you're a bartender, it's like you're on stage. You're a performer. Everybody watches what you're doing behind the bar, so... Doing some magic, okay, I'll add it to the performance. And so, you know, nobody, when I started doing this, Lori and I, we were kind of laughing at the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
And to now, to where we are, it's just a dream. So, you know, halfway through this, I saw I got to start giving back. And that's all I'm trying to do. And it doesn't take too much to give back. I mean, it's every year I do this, you know, but it's okay. It's the only way I can do it. It's the only way I can help out.
Where are you seeing yourself in 5 or 10 years down the road from here?
Well, somebody else asked me recently, because I just turned 56, but magic, when you do magic, age doesn't come into the focus. You know, for me, I still feel like I'm in my 20s.
Yeah.
I'm a little more mature than I was in my 20s. Not much, but a little more. I'm as happy as I was in my 20s. And so somebody said to me the other day, they said, when do you think you're going to retire? And I said, are you kidding me? Carol Fox never retired.
Yeah.
Billy McComb never retired. I'll retire when they close the box on my coffin. Coffin. That's when I'll retire.
Yeah.
But until then, as long as I can give the gift of laughter and once in a while a little bit of amazement, I'm not going nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping to learn more. I'm actually I'm working on Casino Royale, the trick. I think it's a Becker thing.
Yeah.
Oh, we had a chit chat. I just got it.
I got some ideas I can give you.
But some friends told me it would be perfect for my character.
I can see
and,
that.
And the things that I've already got the whole gamut. I've already got the Las Vegas routine in my stand-up.
Yeah.
So it's not like I have to go create patter for it.
Yeah.
I've already got the patter with,
flow.
With the whole thing that I do already. So it's going to be able to blend in right away. And then I have a real fun time with the Silken Egg, which I used to think was hokey.
Yeah.
And then my good buddy Steve Darcy, I saw him do it. Somebody sent me and said, watch Steve do it and you'll learn something. And so I took a couple of his ideas and adapted it. And I bring a person on stage. Yeah. I have a blast when I bring a little kid on stage and do it. I have as much fun when I bring an adult male on stage to do it with me. So I'm adding some tricks to my act, and Lori and I are actually working on she's helping me put together a 9-minute silent routine. You know, I had a dove act for 3 years, 13-minute dove act, and I like the idea of going on stage and just doing something graceful and pretty. And silks, I love silks, so I'm working on that, and I've already got my music that I'm going to use. And
so next time you come back to a magic convention, you're going to be doing that act?
Not... I know it won't be for at least a year because I'm going to work hard at it. But my whole idea is that, you know, Danny Cole and the mayor and these guys, they get to go to Italy and all these other places,
sure.
And they do their silent act. And I want to go to these places.
What Marvin Roy says, you got to have a good silent act. You can work the world.
And you can work the world.
Yeah, Norm Nielsen, all those guys. Yeah.
And so, but me now, if I can come up with this silent act, you know, if I can come up with this silent act, enough of it, there'll be some other opportunities for me to do my regular stand-up comedy act when I'm out there doing these things. So, once again, I'll have an extra bullet in my gun.
But you think of the silent act might be kind of a comedy type of a thing?
You know what? As much as I'd like to tell you it would be comedy, what I have in my heart is to do something very pretty, very graceful,
and beautiful,
and kind of nice, kind of slick.
Interesting.
You know?
Well, Levent kind of does something like that. He does a lot of, you know, stand-up comedy, and then he stops and he does something to music, does beautiful manipulation. you know, billiard balls and all this kind of stuff.
Really?
And then he goes back and then he does some, you know, comedy stuff and everything then, too. Okay, help more people say goodbye.
That is exactly what I, when I started thinking about doing this, is I was going to call it Magic Moments.
Yeah.
In between my act, in between my stand-up, and then just throw a little silent thing out there.
Yeah, yeah. He talked to LeVent about
together.
That.
I'm going to call him. Thanks for the heads up.
Yep.
I don't get to see all these guys. I mean, I see LeVent at magic conventions. Other than that, I don't get to see anybody. So,
yeah
I'll be giving him, I'll be bugging him.
I'm going to let you go because I know we could talk probably for another 2 hours over here and maybe a whole other interview.
We've got to get together and do this again.
We will. Okay.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you there, Michael. I appreciate your time and look forward to seeing you then the next time. Take care. This is Scotty out.